God is good all the time. Many of us who have watched the movie X-Men, what makes this movie interesting is not because they have superpower, but rather they are different. How should they live in a world that has been hostile to them? We had a character like Professor Charles Xavier. He has a dream that the mutant and the human could live peacefully together. And we have Wolverine, powerful but wounded, always resolved to solve problems by fighting. And we have this Mystique that she could transform to be anyone. And so she could just disguise and hide herself to be accepted by the world they live in. Or this Storm, who is so powerful and majestic and having the heart committed to protect everyone. Then we have Magneto. And Magneto look at the hostility of the world and conclude, if the world hate us, we must fight back. But Professor Xavier looking at the hostile world and ask, is there another way? And that's the tension of this movie, isn't it? And then movie after movie they produce. So what do you do when the world does not accept who you are? Do you hide or compromise to be accepted? Or fight back? Or live faithfully and courageously as who you really are? That question is very close to the situations of the believer of First Peter. So let's listen to Peter passage in 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 8 to chapter 4 verse 1a. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would have love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threat. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revile out Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sin, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirit, to those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolized baptism and now save you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good, clear conscience toward God. It saved you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who had gone into heaven and is at God's right hands with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. Therefore, since Christ suffered in the body, arm yourself also with the same attitude. Peter already told them that they are exiled. They are one that no longer belong to the world. They belong to God. They are born again. They are people belong to God. A loyal priesthood. And they are a new creation. They're having this new identity in God. But that's a problem. When the world notices that they no longer the same. They wonder. As a result, they go against them. And the people in the time of the Peter's letters, they suffer. But Peter said that although they suffer, but they are safe. And how should they live in the world that which is hostile to them? So let's listen to Peter's suggestions in this passage. He said that they should live as a caring community, keeping with a clear conscience and counting on the cross of Christ. So living as a caring community. Peter begins by saying that, finally, all of you, whether you're slave or master, wife or husband or anyone else, you, all of you in the church. Now, Peter didn't say that as a result, you're living in the hostile world, you fight back. He said that you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. And the first thing that they should do is to that, as a church, they must be caring for one another. Why? Because when the world outside becomes difficult, the church inside must become more loving, isn't it? Giving the support to one another. Be like-minded, firstly. Be like-minded. Living in harmony doesn't mean they all become the same, identical. Whirling is not storm. Storm is not the Professor Xavier. Same, likewise in the church, some are old, some are young, some are quiet. Some are outspoken. Some are excellent. They excel in everything. They are good. But some are just struggling, having difficulty in all different things. So unity means how to see Christ together. And Christ will make the difference. The question is not, do we agree about everything? The question is, are we united and live in harmony in our devotion to Christ? Be sympathetic. Feel the pain of one another. It's so important to the believer at Peter's time because they were really suffering. A suffering Christian need more than just say that, I pray for you. Of course, we should pray for the suffering Christian. But sometimes, be sympathetic. Sympathy means that I will sit with you. I will listen to you. I will carry some of your burden. I will do my best. Peter Church was a church that they are exiled, they're ostracized from their society. Some they lost their job, lost their family. And the church today, same. We must be a place of refuge, a sanctuary. Christians will come from family and trouble and come in and say, this is a place that I feel at ease, at home. I did not pretend. Imagine, they say a sheep, our ship man being attacked and wounded. And what could be more tragic? He came back into the ship man. Other ship was biting it. Isn't it? Very sad. Unfortunately, this is what happened sometimes. Christians were wounded by the world and yet in the church, they are being attacked by others. I know churches that have conflict within the church. The leaders are not united. And they were causing problem as a result. Think about it. Where's the testimony before the world? Peter said, no, not among God's people. The hostile world should discover something different when come to the church. The church must love one another. You know, the command are summed up in this. Just now, the New Testament reading tell us. The Greek idea of love here is family affection. The church is not simply a Sunday gathering. And after that, no more. It is a family. We are truly brother and sister in blood. Brother and sister in the blood of Christ. So, Peter writing to the Christian here that who had lost their friend, lost their social acceptance, reputation, business opportunity, may have lost everything, ostracized from their family because of their faith. Therefore, the church must become their new family, the new family in God. When the world says that you don't belong to us, the church should say, yes, you belong here. You belong here. Come. No. Be compassionate to those who are weak, sick, and those who are suffer. Be humble to serve one another. That's how the church should be. And then Peter comes to this most radical sentence. He said that do not repay evil for evil or insult for insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. For this you were called. You're called to bless others, isn't it? You're called in spite of suffering. But here's the temptation always we have, right? When someone insulted us, we want to insult them back. When someone spread a rumors, we want to expose them. We want to report the police. Sue them in court. When someone treats us unfairly, we want to suffer. We want them to suffer as much as we have suffered. But Peter said, don't. Don't become like the one who are evil. When you're hurt, don't become what has hurt you. The word said to the mutant, you are dangerous. Magneto say, fine, let me show you how dangerous I am. But Peter gave Christian another way. The word say that you are strained. The Christian could say, yes, I belong to Christ. Yes, I belong to Christ. That's why I'm strained. The world may insult, the Christian could bless. They may hate, Christian continue to do good. They may mock, Christian continue to love. It's not weakness. It's far more courageous and strong not to revenge. Able to forgive than want to revenge, isn't it? We always, when people have done something wrong to us, we have recorded it down. And in verse 10 to 12, Peter quotes Psalm 34. He said to seek peace. He didn't say that be at peace. Seek, pursue, put effort, maintain peace, seek after peace, do good, control your tongue, turn from evil. Wow, so much good thing they need to do. And after they're doing good thing, will the world love them? No, Peter said that after you're doing all this good, doing may not. You may still receive suffering. Does not guarantee people will treat you well when doing good. I think this is the hardest lesson for the believer at that time. I think you were thinking, I now believe in God. I'm doing all good. My life is going to go on well. People will like me. Peter said, no, you won't. So how? Peter said, never mind. Reveal God, the Lord see. The Lord hear. The eyes of the Lord is on the righteous. The ear of the Lord is on their prayer. So our obedience to all this does not depend what people will reward us, will love us. It depends on what the Lord sees, isn't it? So what happened? When they're doing everything right and people were still hurting them. And here come Peter's second point. Keeping a clear conscience is important, your conscience before God. He begins by saying that, who is there to harm you if you are eager to do good? Now, this verse could easily take our context. Sounded like that. If you are eager to do good, no one will harm you. You know, you do good, or no one will harm you. No. Not true in the context, because the believer of the time of Peter, even when they do good, they were still being harmed. So what's Peter trying to say? Peter said that, who could truly and really harm you? Even you are persecuted, even a cure for your belief. No, it's God is in control. To die is gain. Even if you suffer, you should suffer for what is right. You are blessed. In fact, he said, it's okay. Even you are being harmed. So do not fear, he said. Oh, I like this phrase. Do not fear. Do not fear the people. You know, the greatest weapon of hostility towards Christianity may not be violence, no? Maybe a fear or a perceived fear that we, the believer, have. Why? Fear of losing friend. Fear of losing approval from the family. Oh, I cannot be a believer. My family would not accept me. Losing the opportunity, business opportunity, or fear of being misunderstood. Ayu, why you live a life so funny? Or fear of being criticized or being isolated. In our Malaysia context, sometimes the pressure may be even more subtle. No one will come to you. Hey, why you're not a Christian? Don't be Christian. Renounce your faith. The pressure come from statements such as this. Everybody does it. Don't be so serious. Why are you so serious? Why are you making things so difficult? Why must everything be follow the order or command? For the sake of harmony, just compromise. Why can't you participate with us in the month, in the ghost month which is happening? You can keep your faith privately as long as you don't affect others. When you stand on what is right for God, you will encounter all this. Peter said, do not fear. He didn't say that be brave. He gave a better answer. Revere Christ as Lord. This is the answer to fear. You cannot overcome the fear or the statement by people merely by telling I'm strong. I will just maintain quiet. The fear of God is overcome by someone greater, stronger, occupy your heart. I have a friend. He is the Lord of the mighty angel. He's before me and behind me. How could we fear of what others are going to tell you? Peter's answer to this fear is that make Christ the Lord. As a result, then whose opinions matter most? If Christ is only merely an important person in your life, opinions of others will affect you, will control you. But if Christ is the Lord, even when others reject you, you know the King has accepted you. I listen to the King. I follow the King. So Peter said, then always be prepared to answer anyone who come to you for the reason of your faith. With gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience. Of course, when you talk about the hope we have, we are not to be rude and prideful, but gentle, respect, keeping a clear conscience. Peter is not talking about here, giving a reason of your faith about evangelism. Of course, it's a good way and good mannerism when we want to share with others. Peter is saying that people may ask them because they see something unusual in the believer. Perhaps they see that they have suffered but have not become bitter. Why are you not bitter when all the attacks on you? They have been treated unfairly, taken advantage of, and yet they're still honest. So Peter said, people may ask you, why are you still honest? They may have lost everything, but they still have hope. So people ask him, why do you still have hope? And finally, someone may ask, why are you like this? Why are you so different? That is the moment Peter talking about. You see, Christian apologetics or Christian evangelism is not how well you can answer difficult theological question. Peter, Christian apologetic or evangelism could be also, can your life create a question? Can someone look at your life and say that, hey, I don't understand. I don't understand. How come? And then that's where you can say that, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. You know, I shared with you all before, after 2 months, I have become Christian. I went home. On the second night, my mom came into my room and looked at me and said, who are you? I said, hey, I'm your son. She said, no. My son is not like that. I said, I became a Christian. Jesus has changed me. Who is Jesus? I also want to believe. And that night, she believed. Peter is asking the believer to continue, keep a clear conscience. Do what is right before God. So that those who speak maliciously against their good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. See, Peter didn't promise, if you do well, nobody will ever accuse you. No, people may still accuse you, misunderstood you, gossip about you, misrepresent you, and question your motive even. But Peter said, never mind, keep your conscience clear before God. You know, let them be. See, here is a powerful question for every one of us. When people accuse us, is my conscience able to stand before God? Could you sleep well? You see, you cannot control your reputation. But you can, by God's grace, guard our conscience, isn't it? See, your reputation is like a photo of yourself. With modern technology, they can take your photo, edit it, crop it, change the face, put a bad caption below it. But your conscience, it's not that photo, your conscience is what you are known before God. So Peter said, live such good life that when your reputation is attacked, being questioned, your conscience remain clean before God. And you could sleep soundly at night, even with this slander around. Anyway, he said it's good. It's God's will to suffer though doing good. I mean, if you suffer when you're doing evil, understood lah. You deserve it. As a consequence of your sin, you suffer. But Peter said, it's God's will to suffer for doing good. You know, like the fireman with the suffer heat to put off the fire. And because, finally, Peter come to the most important part of this passage. Christ has suffered one for sin, righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body and made alive in the spirit. Peter said that here is how you should suffer. Look at the one who has suffered for you, counting on the cross of Christ. Christ is our supreme example. But first, he's our Savior. He's our example. But Peter didn't say that as an example, because Christ suffered, you copy him. No. He says suffer. Christ is the one who suffered for you. Suffer for sin. The righteous for the unrighteous. We are, in fact, the one even unrighteous. But Christ has suffered for you. Don't look at the world, look at ourselves. That's a good news, isn't it? We deserve punishment. Jesus does not deserve punishment, but yet he substitute for our sin. Why? To save us, so that he will bring us to God. So we may suffer because we are saved, but we are with God. We are with God. That's why he says that as Christian, why we can suffer but remain secure. Where we gone? Because our security is not dependent on what outside people are looking about. And not our inside us also, our courage, our ability, and our popularity. But rather, it rests upon that we are in Christ and we are in God. We rest upon what Christ has done for us. We are safe in the hand of God. Christ, the righteous, has bring us to God. At the cross, doesn't mean defeat. We all know. Say, on Good Friday, you stand on the Calvary and looking at the cross, what do you see? You see Christ being tortured, being flogged, crucified, died. It looks like defeat. The religious leaders say that we have won. The Roman authority at that time, we just crucified another criminal. The disciples themselves say, gone case. There's no more hope. Everything is over. But what looked like defeat in history, greatest defeat in history, become the greatest victory, isn't it? Because come Sunday, Christ was resurrected and he ascended later. And now he's seated. Verse 22 give the climax of what Peter trying to say. Christ is now seated at the God's right hand with angel authority and power in submission to him. Peter is saying to the suffering Christian, you may feel that you are surrounded by powerful people, powerful authority, and going against you, you are so weak. Look higher, higher. Christ is there. Christ is above all. So never judge the final outcome of God's word by the present suffering. Haven't finished yet the story. If you belong to God, your suffering is not the last chapter of your life. No, it's not. Peter then speak about Jesus went to make proclamation to the imprisoned spirit during the time of Noah. These passages have been debated throughout the church history. There are three explanations. They say that Christ announced salvation to believers waiting in OT era. Christ's spirit in second explanation, Christ's spirit in Noah preaching to the people at Noah time. Third explanation, Christ went down to Hades to proclaim victory and final judgment on the falling angel. Remember, in Noah time, talking about the falling angel was with the daughter of man. In any case, the passage showed that Christ's good news and salvation is unlimited. He has been preached in the past and in the present. He had gone to the dead and to the living. God has given everyone the opportunity to come to him. Christ's suffering does not end in defeat. He means that right now, he is dominion over all. The believer should never judge God's final word by what they see in the present suffering. By looking at Christ, they'll make them understand. The people who criticize them, do not have the final authority. The government does not have the final authority. The public opinion does not have final authority. The spiritual forces does not have the final authority. Who has? Christ has. Christ has. And Peter said, remember Noah. He was outnumbered at that time, at his time. The whole world was going one direction. Every inclination of the heart of men were evil at all time. That is what the Bible described the whole world, except Noah. Noah was faithful and righteous before God. But other than Noah and a few, every inclination of the heart of the man was evil at all time. And Noah received the instruction to build an ark on the top of the mountain. Imagine the neighbor come to him. Hey, what are you doing? I'm building an ark. Why? Why are you building an ark? Oh, the flood is coming. Flood is coming. They were on the tall mountain. They were saying, flood is coming. Going to flood all the way to the mountain. Imagine the laughter. Imagine the joke. Hey, Noah, gone crazy. Cuckoo. And for 100 years, Noah has been testified about the salvation. Come. The judgment is coming. Believe. Follow me. Come into the ark. No. Noah continued despite the laughter, insult, slandering. Why? He trusts God. He believed in God rather than the opinion of the world. And eventually, yes, the flood came. And very few, the Bible says, only a few were saved. See, the readers of Peter need this reminder. They themselves are very few. This is the very first group of believers. They were scattered everywhere. They've been misunderstood by the people. You know, as believers in Malaysia, we are also very few. Statistically, only 3% or 5. 3 to 5. Remember Noah. That's what Peter said. The majority is not always right. Sometimes you may be the only believer or only Christian in your office or in your school that you refuse to participate in something that which is dishonest, not right. You're the only one. Hey, why? Why don't you join us? Why you don't do this thing? You may feel foolish because they say that everyone does it. No. Remember Noah. Everyone was not right. Faithfulness may look foolish until God vindicates. Therefore, Peter said, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourself also with the same attitude. Arm yourselves. Sound like military. But Peter is saying, prepare your mind. Prepare your mind. Don't enter into Christian life and thinking that if I follow God, everybody will like me. No. Arm yourself with this truth. Faithfulness may cost you something. But here is the good news. You are not going to face this suffering yourself. You belong to Christ who has suffered for you, who has died for you, who has rose from the dead and ascended into heaven and now seated in the heavenly place, far above all rule and dominion. You may suffer, but you are victorious in Christ. That is the good news. So, let me conclude. Peter is telling the Peter, yeah, you're living in this world, they are hostile to you. You may be suffer, but you can be sure you have been saved. Yeah, even you living as a caring community, living as someone that will bless others, yep, it could still suffer. When people misunderstand you, he said, don't compromise your faith. When the world is hostile, don't turn against one another in your church as a believer. Care for one another. Love one another. Bless and carry one another's burden. And keeping a clear conscience, do what is right. When God look at you, you know that you may not be sinless like what Paul said. You could be blameless. Yeah, although you may be suffered, people may still don't like you, may slander against you. Fear God more than fear men. Continue to speak the truth with gentleness. Do so all the time, keeping your conscience clean and counting, because you are safe, you can count on the cross of Christ. When suffering becomes difficult, don't look at the external pressure or don't you think of using your internal ability. Look outside to God, to Christ. He's far above. The righteous one has suffered for the unrighteous to bring you. He saved you and bring you home to God. He rose and he reigned. His grace is sufficient. His power is made perfect in your weakness. How should we live today? I think based on what Peter said, do not hide, firstly, your Christian identity. We may not experience the same hostility as Peter's reader, isn't it? They're persecuted and to the point of death for their faith. But there was pressure for us to keep our Christianity so private. No one needs to know. Peter said, Christ is Lord. Hey, Christ is Lord, your master in your life. He cannot simply occupy just one little compartment of our life, isn't it? Put Christ and God first. Even when obedience costs you something, there will be moments that when you obey God, it costs you something. Maybe an opportunity or business advantage or friendship, you know? Or your schoolmate may not like you, or popularity or approval. When that moment comes, put God first. We are saved not by avoiding all this. We are saved because Christ suffered for us. We are saved by His resurrection. So do not compromise our salvation. No? Hide it to avoid temporary discomfort. Lastly, let your life create opportunity for the gospel. Be ready to give an answer for the reason of the hope you have. Be ready. When people look at you, the greatest evangelistic moment that you could have is when people look at you and then, why do you do that? I'm confused. I don't understand why you Christian can do that. When you remain honest, they come and ask you, why didn't you take advantage back? When you have hope, even in time of grief, pain, and he said, how can you still have peace when people slander you, when people hurt you, and you suffer without bitterness? And people come and ask you, what give you the strength? Then be ready. Not saying that, I'm a good person, I discipline myself, I equip myself, I'm strong. No. That is a moment you say, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you what Christ has done for me in my life. So let us, living as a caring community, keeping with a clear conscience in God, and counting on the cross of Christ. When the world asks, why are you so different? May our life and our words give one answer. Because we belong to Jesus, the one who suffered for us, save us, and now reign in us. Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, our Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you have sent Jesus to suffer on our behalf, to die for our sin, the righteous for unrighteous, so that when we face a challenging world, the world that who want to sway us aside, the world that want to put down our light, the world that make us helpless, the world that make us useless, Lord, we can look towards you. We are in you. Christ has brought us to you. You are the God of angelic hosts. You are the mighty God.
Amen.
We can put our faith and trust in you. Give us the courage and boldness to move forward, to live a life that glorifies you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.